and you get irritated because you haven't eaten, you start discovering a few things about yourself. And then you get to cry out to God and say, have mercy on me and change me. I didn't realize I still had that in me. It can transform our prayer life and make it into a richer personal experience. And it can result in a dynamic personal revival that can lead others into the kingdom. But then as I was studying a bit more, because I thought to myself, what else is there to say? I mean, we've talked about it. We've read about it. What else is there to say? And God came to me with just the truth I hadn't seen before. You know how we pray in the Lord's Prayer on earth as it is in heaven? Well, guess what if? What if I hunger on earth for a few days? And it connects me with the hunger in the heavenlies. You see, because there is a great hunger. All creation hungers and yearns for the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. All creation hungers and thirsts for the King of Kings to return and to set things straight and to deliver mankind from the curse and the land from the curse that we are under. Jesus is hungry for the souls of millions and billions of people that have never heard his name. So what if when we skip a meal or two, we get to connect with that kind of hunger? Don't you think that could change your life? Don't you think that could cause something really positive in our hearts? Something that we desperately need? A revelation, a restoration, a burning zeal and fire for the lost. So I don't know. I'm just really excited about fasting. I'm really excited about it because I believe there is a trigger there. Hunger is the means for survival. I guess we should have asked our resident doctor here, but I was trying to read up what causes people to not have an appetite. What causes people to not really want to eat? And of course, there could be different sicknesses, but the main cause I saw anyways is anxiety. Worry and anxiety kills your appetite for food. Isn't that interesting? And what is anxiety? Anxiety is the opposite of faith. If I have faith, I don't worry. If I have faith, I don't have to be anxious about my needs or the needs of others. So it's the lack of faith that causes us not to be hungry after God. Do you understand the connection? There is a great connection. And so we need to be more hungry for God. And how do you do that? There's no button to push in me that would cause me to be more hungry after God. I can pray for it, but guess what? I can also fast for it. And when my physical body demands food, I'm put in touch with a spiritual hunger that is all around me. The spiritual hunger of people seeking after truth and reality. The hunger even of the angels to see people come into the kingdom. The hunger of Jesus and the Father to see nation after nation be brought into the kingdom, be changed and transformed like that Indian tribe we heard about last night. Wow. It's not just something we can choose to do or not to do. I'm trying to get through to your heart and to mine that fasting is really a powerful tool. A tool for something that I believe we desperately need. And now I'm just going to read a few stories for you. I was looking through the hard drive of my computer. It's amazing the stuff you find there. I found a 300-page document about different histories of revivals, and I got lost in it because it was just so fascinating. And I don't want to focus so much on the old revivals, but I want to focus more on the type of renewals and revivals that happened in our lifetime, that happened maybe not all that long ago. And I've just picked out a few. And I want you to pay attention because there's a common factor in all of those stories that I'm going to read. And Isaac should be glad because a lot of them are about Australia. Yes. Brisbane, Australia, October 97. Now, this was after a time of fasting and prayer in a large church. People began to rush forward from everywhere. First a stream and then a rampage. Soon, hundreds and hundreds of people filled the altar, the aisles, and anywhere else they could find. Wailing seized the human mass. And again, I repeat, there was great fear. In truth, none of us knew what to do. The wailing and intercession that ensued was deafening. Children, ages 6, 8, and 10, cried out, long bitterly for their sins. Teenagers screamed openly in prayer for their lost friends. Literally hundreds at a time were being affected by this way, and this was to last for at least another hour and a half, while all 2,000 of the congregation waited patiently for their chance to be prayed for. Are you hungry yet? If not, you need to fast. Tasmania, 98. Through prayer and fasting, and then it says in parentheses, we were in the latter days of a 40-day corporate fast. The expectancy of what God would do was very high. And during the meetings, it was obvious that we had moved to another level in the praise and worship. The presence of God was tangible. It was as if heaven had opened up. Awesome, but also very gentle. The love of God filled the house. Are you hungry yet? If not, you need to fast. Sydney, 94. For many months, the church had been praying for a visitation of God without perhaps really realizing what that meant. An outstanding prophetic sign occurred a short while before this outpouring took place when a helicopter flying over the church called the fire department, reporting our building was on fire. 13 fire trucks screamed up the church driveway looking for the fire to extinguish, but there was no fire. When the realization came that it was a spiritual fire that had been witnessed, great awe came upon the church. This happened at the conclusion of 10 days of prayer and fasting. Are you hungry yet? If not, you need to fast. Let's move to Australia, Syria. A Christian ministry in Syria reports that a great revival has broken out due to prayer and fasting by the believers of that ministry. As a result, many Muslims have accepted Jesus as their Savior. Additionally, for the first time in recent history, the government has allowed this ministry to print and distribute thousands of New Testaments. Are you hungry yet? Getting there, right? If not, you need to fast. Tokyo. About 19,000 people have been praying for Tokyo since 92. More than 1 million hours, listen, more than 1 million hours of prayer have been offered on behalf of the city in 5 years. That's a lot of hours. To prepare for this year's crusade, leaders asked the people to add 377,750 hours, one for every square mile of the city. About 3,000 people took part in a 40-day fasting chain prior to the event. Wow. Hungry yet? Maybe we should fast. Tacoma, Washington, 99. Aggressive fasting is fueling hunger for God at a Tacoma, Washington church that has baptized more than 700 new converts during 90 weeks of revival. During the first year of the move of God at Bethel Church, members fasted a total of 165 days. And the church sets 40 days at each start of each year and 4 days at the beginning of each month for fasting. And they got 700 converts. Hungry yet? And here's something interesting that might not work in our culture, but it does in Guatemala, where there was a great move of God in the 70s, and now the pastors are afraid they're going to lose that revival. And so they say this, to maintain the results already reached in Almolonga, Pastor Mariano's strategy encompasses a fivefold focus, living in the fear of the Lord, maintaining intense prayer and fasting, building schools, caring for converts, establishing strong families. He urges his flock to always live under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, to maintain the results won through intercession and spiritual warfare, the church must continue steadfast in prayer and fasting. Long past the breakthroughs in the 70s, many believers in Alamonga continue weekly disciplines of prayer and fasting. And there it comes. At El Calvario Church, people are held accountable to participate in prayer and fasting. They're making it a law that people pray and fast. Not sure we would appreciate that. But the results are evident. So are we hungry yet? Well, we don't even have to go so far. On Friday, Torbjörn and I had the privilege to have a pastor's fika to some, together with some pastors at Klara Kyrkan, not far from here. And I was surprised and pleased to hear them tell us that they have had 24/7 prayer now for 7 months. I got so jealous. I said, we can do it too. For 7 months, they've been praying 24/7. Someone continuously praying for 7 months. And no wonder they have a great ministry, feeding the poor and many people being changed and turned around. There is no other way, folks. John Wimber talked about it. He calls it developing a personal history with God. He said, develop personal disciplines that cultivate a passion for Jesus, such as prayer, fasting, Bible study, worship, and obedience in the small things. So actually, it was in our DNA from the very start. We just kind of forgot. And it's very convenient to forget fasting because it's just not one of the things we love to do. But I hope that by now that you're a little bit more excited about fasting and maybe contemplate to actually take a leap and try it. And in closing, I just want to quickly tell you a little bit about my story. When I became a believer many years ago, I did try fasting here and there, a day here, one time 3 days, and then I remember one time at Bible school, I think it was 5 days, I thought I was going to die. And so throughout the years, I tried, because I knew it was right, I knew it was good, but it was always a battle. And so I would have fasting days here and then, but it wasn't until about 10 years ago when one day God just challenged me to fast longer. And there were some reasons for it, but I just felt him say, go for it. And then I experienced something that most of us have never experienced. You see, the first 3 days are the worst. They really are. That's when the headaches plague you and your body aches. If you make it past the first 3 days, it gets a lot easier. Most of us don't know that because we've never fasted more than 3 days. It actually gets easier. And then guess what? After day 10, it's starting to become a pleasure. By then, your body has got the message. There's no food coming. Find it elsewhere. And your body adjusts somehow. Are you still hungry and your stomach still growls? And when you smell food, you are tempted. But it's totally different now. There's a peace that comes over you. There is just a well-being, a sense of well-being. You don't feel like you haven't eaten in 10 days. You feel actually quite well. And from that point on, you can go on. I do understand why Jesus didn't fast more than 40 days. I tried it once. That's the borderline. Even though I have read stories that there have been people like the heavenly man and others that have fasted for 70 days and beyond. We don't have to push it that far. But I challenge you. I challenge you to give this a try. People that are excused are those that are pregnant. Those with heart disease. And maybe some other really heavy sickness. I suppose those of you that have really, really hard physical labor, you might find it hard to fast for more than a few days. But for the rest of us sitting behind a desk all week, we can do without food for a few days. And I don't in any way want to pressure us, but I wish you would experience it. I want you to experience it. I want you to know what it can be like to get to that place where you all of a sudden connect with that spiritual hunger and the two become one. and something happens in your heart, and you get changed, and you get transformed. So I want to make it very practical. You know me. So I created a little calendar here. We don't even have 40 days left because we are already 1 week into it. So it's like 30-some days. I'd like to pass this around, and I would like you to put your name on one day between now and December 20 where you say, this is the day that I will fast. Of course, you can do it with many days, but one day. Can we not try to fill the rest of these 40 days with at least one person fasting every day? Can we try that? Let's pass it around. I would like my pen back if possible. Just put down your name. This is between you and God, but you're also making it known to the rest that, okay, I will take one day. And I will fast. And I will connect with the spiritual hunger around me because I want to see a change in this city. I want to see a change in my life. I want to see a change in this nation. I want to see a change in this world. We are history makers. We have been called to shape the future. We know that. And yet we are afraid to believe it. And we don't really dare to grasp it. But I'm going to pray now that the Holy Spirit would help us. I'm going to ask for a spirit of revelation that would take you far beyond what I just told you. That, yes, you would long for a time of fasting. You would long for a season where you could connect with God just on a deeper level than you ever have before. So, Father, I ask that by your Holy Spirit you would come and grant us a thirst and a hunger after you like never before. Lord, I ask that in your mercy, you would call us out of our comfortable lifestyles. You would call us out of living the way we live our daily lives. And to be challenged by something that we maybe have never done before. To bring to you a sacrifice. To bring to you our bodies and say, you are more important than the food we eat. You are more important than anything else in this world. So Holy Spirit, I just pray that in these minutes that we have left here together, that somehow, Lord, you would reach deep down in our hearts and draw us closer to you. And to help us understand that you want the best for us. You know more what we need than we ourselves really know. And yet we are overcome by information overload, sensory overload from morning to night in this world in which we live. And it is so hard for us to find that quiet place. It is so difficult for us to really connect deep unto deep, heart unto heart. And maybe skipping some meals would help us with that. Give us the faith, the desire, and the urge to take that chance and to honor you through prayer and fasting. Amen. Peter, can we have another song before we'll have another worship song. Yes. Yeah, just a moment. We'll have another worship song, and then I'd like to invite you to come up for prayer, as always, for anything, sickness, issues, problems, whatever it is that you need help with, we will pray for you. But Emily would like to share something.
Can you do this with
you?
Sure. Yeah. När jag satt där borta så kände jag bara hur Gud talade till mig, och jag kände att jag ville dela det här med församlingen just vad gäller fastan, att alla här inne, det gäller alla här inne, alla har rätt att vara med, alla har rätt att delta. Det handlar inte om att man behöver ha kommit någon särskild stans. Jag kan ha suttit i församlingen i många år och både här och på andra ställen och tänkt att ja, men det där är för någon annan. Någon som kanske har kommit längre, någon som vet mer om Gud än vad jag vet eller mer om hur fastan funkar eller om allting funkar. Men jag upplevde verkligen att Gud ville uppmuntra oss idag att verkligen, att alla, verkligen du som sitter här inne får lov att vara med. Verkligen. Ja, så bara uppmuntra att det verkligen, verkligen, verkligen gäller alla och att det inte, det är bara att köra liksom. Och att vi gör det här tillsammans, att vi gör det tillsammans som en familj. Att vi, ja, vi hjälper varandra och vi bär varandra. Yes, tack.
Ska vi ställa oss upp, hörni? Den här sången heter I Rejoice in You, som vi har sjungit här några år.